I think people wait too long too. They get into it and all of a sudden they've been contacting these investors. They've been telling them about everything they're doing. They've been kind of advertising. They've been doing all this stuff. And then they talk to a securities attorney and they find out, holy crap, I've been doing it wrong the entire time. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. to claim your free course today. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me today, as always, on these Wednesdays is John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Todd. How are you today?
I am fantastic. So what do you got cooking, John? Anything new these days?
I just finished up a little apartment seminar for apartment owners, and that went pretty well, I thought. We had a lot of owners come in and got to share from one of a property manager friends I have, and then a banker friend, and then myself. We all spoke and shared some information for them. So
awesome. Well, congrats on that, because I know you've been talking about it. It's actually really good to hear that you had more than like two people show up, because that's what I expected on their very first one. You know, you didn't. You haven't been, doing these monthly. It's, this is your first one. So that's pretty good, having more than like one or two people show up.
Yeah. Well, I put a lot into it as far as getting the word out. I was pleasantly surprised. I would have been happy with one, but I think we had about 11 guests there. So that was great.
So John, how did you get the word out?
I used the good old fashioned direct mail. I had, searched out who I wanted to reach, very specifically people who owned multifamily properties. I chose buildings with 4 to 40 units. So then tracked down those property owners, sent them a couple of invitations. I had like a brochure and a postcard, and, they came. So
you didn't do any Facebook or LinkedIn or anything like that. It was very direct on who you're trying to approach.
Exactly. I know that I could have done, email blast to my database, Facebook marketing, all this type of stuff. And I probably would have had a bigger crowd, but I was trying to specifically reach people that I didn't yet know, and specific, these specific property owners. And, so that's how I chose to do it.
No, I think that's good. And that's something that I think your reasoning is actually sound, because you could have invited all these people. Maybe you could have got 40 people to this deal. And, but those 11 people that you really wanted to meet, you potentially wouldn't have even met one of them, or maybe you would have met one, but some of them will just sneak out the door in a big crowd, where if you got only 11 people, it's still a good number, but it's a lot harder for them just to sneak out.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier for you to meet at least, 50% of them, if not all of them. So I think that's actually probably a pretty solid strategy especially for your very first one.
Yeah. And so now these people are people that I know. So I was able to capture their phone numbers, email addresses, and I intend to stay in touch, and put them into my database. So, I don't expect that, suddenly I've got a deal right now.
Yeah.
Now I can have them in a long-term follow-up plan. So.
Well, you're starting that relationship, which is huge. And then you're also providing them positive, good information, right? I mean, you didn't ask for anything. Well, at least I don't think you did. You provided information.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't just you. It was a property manager. It was a lender, and it was you that provided good, solid information to these people. And that's what marketing is all about. It's not about trying to get business day one. It's about creating that relationship, creating value for people, and eventually that comes back to you.
Yep. No, definitely. I really believe this was a way to provide value, because, I've sent out postcards in the past, hey, you want to sell your building,
mm-hmm.
and gotten zero response, or maybe one that was, not really serious.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I sent something that brought them value and they responded. So.
Oh, that's a great idea. I like it a lot, and I think it'll actually do you well, especially if you continue this consistently, doing once a quarter or once a month or whatever you choose to do, but doing it consistently.
Right.
I think it'll keep on bringing value. Those same 11 people will continue to show up, and you'll probably get more and more people that'll start to come as well. So,
yeah. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, and then I wanted to give a shout out to one of our listeners here. Nick White has commented a few times on our YouTube shows, and just one of his comments here was on episode 49. He says, more than enjoyed the great content, please keep up the great work. Very valuable information for many. So thank you, Nick, for listening and watching, and we appreciate your feedback there.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Yeah, I love it when people give us feedback. It's nice to hear. It's nice to know what they think. And we've mentioned it before, but if you have questions or comments that you want us to address or want us to talk about, let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, wonderful. Okay, so today we're going to continue on with our apartment series and getting a lot deeper into what it means to put together a syndication, what that looks like, why you need one, or why you would choose to go that route. So, Todd, why don't you just intro this for us and tell us what we're going to talk about here?
Well, so a couple things. And one is something I didn't really plan on talking about until really yesterday. I get a lot of questions on syndication. A lot of people are really foggy with what it is and whether they should be syndicating or not. And a lot of people think they can just partner, and that's okay. And that's potentially the wrong answer. So first of all, I'll preface this by consult with your attorney. I'm not an attorney, so I don't want to be giving you legal advice, but I'm going to give you the advice of what I understand on a syndication, and then take what I say with a grain of salt and do your own research and talk and consult with your own attorney. With that, I had a question the other day. This was on Bigger Pockets, and the guy basically said, hey, I've been doing deals, and we're putting together, I'm putting together, people I know, friends and family, close friends and family, into these deals, and they invest in them, and and I do the work and then I provide them with returns. And said something about, you know, I've been doing this successfully, but I'd like to scale type of thing. And, you know, how do I, when do I go about starting syndicating? Is that when I start using people that aren't my friends and family? And the answer is you've been already syndicating likely. It doesn't matter if they're your friends or family. It could be your dad and your brother and your sister, people you know really, really well. And they're giving you money, but they're not doing any of the work. They're passively sitting back and relaxing. And you're providing them income from their investment. Well, that's a securities, or likely a securities. So it doesn't matter who they are. The other thing it doesn't matter is how many people it is. You get a lot of people say, well, it's less than five people, so, you know, it's a partnership. What? No. That doesn't mean anything. So look at and talk to your attorney about what the law says, but basically, in a dumbed-down version, if the people that are giving you money aren't involved in the day-to-day operation and aren't decision-makers, key decision-makers, they're likely passive investors, which means you're likely offering securities. So you should be, you know, going with the full blown syndication model and getting the securities attorney involved and all that kind of stuff. Now there's exceptions to the rules. And again, talk with your attorney about that. Maybe you can get by with doing a partnership agreement, because that's definitely going to be a little cheaper and you don't have to report to the SEC. But you also want to make sure you're not violating anything. And all of a sudden, then now you're getting these big fines and it's more expensive in the end, or somebody sues you. What if the partnership goes awry and somebody sues you and you should have done it a different way, and now you're basically open for a lawsuit because you didn't do it the right way, because you tried to save a couple bucks. So I just think people are really confused a lot of times on what a syndication is versus what a partnership is. And a partnership should be you and me, John, partnering together. We both provide money into the deal, and we both provide value to the deal through our actions. So maybe you're the guy that underwrites the deal, you're the financial guy, and I'm the guy that manages the property or whatever it is. That's a partnership. And it could be you and me and four other people, five other people, 10 other people. But if we're all making the decisions and we're all doing the day-to-day and we're all at partners, true partners, then it's a partnership. But if you just throw your money into my deal and three other people do, it's a syndication.
So the main difference that you're distinguishing here is active involvement versus passive involvement.
Yeah. Basically, it comes down to that. And now there's other, you know, guidelines and, you know, I could read off a bunch of stuff. It's kind of boring. You could read the rule yourself. That's what I would suggest doing, talking with an attorney so you can understand the rule. They'll help you break it down in more layman's terms anyway. But yeah, that's basically what it is. Then the other thing I get people that say is, you know, you have to use accredited investors. Well, that's just false. You don't have to use only accredited investors. You can use sophisticated investors, which are non-accredited investors that understand what they're getting into, basically. And you want to make sure they understand what they're getting into. You want to make sure they have the financial capability to do it. And you want to make sure you have a pre-existing relationship with them. They don't have to be your best friend or your brother or sister, but that you need to have a pre-existing, substantial pre-existing relationship with them. So meaning I can't just have met them on Facebook or something like that and never talked to them in my life. You should have, you know, had several conversations with them, phone calls, emails, all that kind of stuff, and got to know them, very potentially met them in person. The more contact you have with them and the better you know them, the more likely you've had that true contact that the SEC wants to see. And then the other thing is people say, well, you can't advertise. Well, that's true, kind of. Okay. You can't advertise, but I can talk openly that I syndicate properties. I can talk about it. I just can't say, hey, John, I got this property coming up. It's going to provide these returns and blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking for investors. I can't do that unless it's the right kind of offering, right? So there's several different types of offerings, and your securities attorney, again, can help you with that. But there's a 506C in Minnesota. There's a SCORE offering. You know, so there's other types of offerings where you can actually publicly advertise. When you publicly advertise, typically, you can only use accredited investors. Now, the SCORE offering that I just mentioned, I can use non-accredited investors and accredited and advertise, but it has to be in-state only, in Minnesota only. So there's whatever. There's all kinds of – my point is there's all kinds of variations.
Yeah.
So you got to get to know those, and you have to talk to a securities attorney and understand what you're doing. And don't wait. I think people wait too long too. They get into it, and all of a sudden they've been contacting these investors. They've been telling them about everything they're doing. They've been kind of advertising. They've been doing all this stuff. And then they talk to a securities attorney and they find out, holy crap, I've been doing it wrong the entire time. Like, why didn't you talk to that attorney first? And I'm guilty of it. Like I oftentimes, especially when I first started, I didn't talk to attorneys about a lot of things that I should have talked to them about. And, you know, I'm guilty of it, but I'm here to say, don't, you know, learn from my mistakes and talk to the attorney sooner than later. A lot of attorneys will give you at least a consultation for free. They're not going to charge you, or maybe they'll charge you a little bit, but they're not going to charge you massively. And I'm not saying they're going to go and teach you for free, but they're going to give you a little consultation for free because they want your business. The other thing is there's a lot of stuff online, like go to YouTube and search it. So,
yeah. Let's step it back for just a moment. And so say you have, you know, a friend that you want to do business together and you both want to invest in a property. Mm-hmm. You know, one strategy that some people do is start a brand new company, mm-hmm. For the specific project. And then both partners are owners of that company.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously in that case, you know, they're both relatively active involved, but you know, people can bring different things to the table. Some people
bring
more of the money. Some people bring more of the experience.
Sure.
Or some expertise. You know, if that's the plan and the setup, do you consider that a securities?
Yeah, I would say that's probably not a securities. It's probably a partnership. Okay. As long as you said a few things in there. One of them was the one brings in the money. If that's the only thing they bring, then yes, it's likely securities. But if they're bringing more and they have, you know, they have voting rights and they make decisions, they're part of the board, all that kind of stuff, then yeah, it's likely a partnership.
Okay.
So if does that answer it?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Do you want to go deeper into some of these different types of offerings?
Well, I don't want to talk about the types. I'm actually going to have an attorney on in maybe a month or so, and he's going to go through a lot of the different types. So I'll let him. I'll save that for him because he's the expert, not me. Mm-hmm. But what I want to go through today is some questions that I get asked quite a bit. And first question is, how much profit should I give away? Okay. And really what that comes down to is that's up to you. It comes down to what's your experience, right? John, if I come to the table, I don't have much real estate experience, period, but I found this great deal. I want to be the guy running the show, and I think I can handle it. Well, it kind of there's a little bit of risk involved there, right? Because I just haven't done much. So I should be giving my investors a little more opportunity for being risk adverse, or for whatever risk mitigation, whatever you want to call it. So I should be giving them better returns. If I've done a lot of deals and I've from start to finish done, you know, 1,000 units or more, can I offer less in returns? Yeah, you could get by with less in return. So it's going to be, what are your relationships with your investors? You know, is investors that you know really, really well, is close friends and family? Well, you could probably get by with a little less returns in that case because they really trust you. But if it's people that, you know, expect high returns and those are who you're dealing with, well, you're probably going to have to get higher returns. So what I would tell somebody is, you know, figure out what you think works for you and for your investors. And then from there, you want to make a system and keep it pretty, you know, pretty accurate. Consistent, I should say. I wouldn't change it up too much. If you're giving a 70-30 split, I wouldn't change it to a, you know, 60-40 split the next deal, and then an 80-20, and then a 70-30, and then, you know, keep on going back and forth. You could do a 70-30 surely, and then maybe the next one do a 65-35, and then keep it there. But you want to be consistent so everybody knows what to expect every time.
Can you break that down a little bit? I mean, what do you?
Yeah,
do you mean 70-30? What does that mean?
Yeah, sure. So, well, first before I do that, I want to talk about some of the returns kind of that I see. And these aren't my returns. These aren't returns that you have to, as the investor or as the syndicator, have to do or have to get. But these are just kind of common in the market that I see right now. So how I see it is investors are wanting to see a healthy, you know, let's say 14%-ish internal rate of return. So meaning over the life of the investment, you're going to get 14% return every single year over the life of the investment. Now, that doesn't mean that day one you're going to get 14%. Doesn't mean that year three you're going to get 14%. But after the property sells and you take everything into account, if you could have been reinvesting that money, you're getting 14% internal rate of return. Okay. So, and then the other thing I see a lot is people are offering between a 7 to 9% cash on cash return annually. So that means year one, if I give $100,000, year one, I'm going to get or give, you know, let's say we do 8%, $8,000 each year during the cash flow period. So while we're holding the property, the investor is going to get about 8% cash on cash. So 8% on their money. And then in the end, then we have the sale. So then we've got the equity that we've built. We've got the mortgage pay down. And we've got all that cash flow that's came in. And we add that up to get to that 14. Okay. So now what was your question again, John? You mentioned we were talking about the splits, right?
Yep. You said 70-30 split. And how does that play in here?
Okay. So yeah, so that's one of the biggest questions I also get in an equity partnership. How do the splits look like? Most common split I see is a 70-30. So what does that mean? It means that the sponsor is the general partner, which is the person or company that's putting the entire deal together. They're the ones, they're the head honcho. They're the ones that are running the deal. Okay. So they get 30% of all the profits just for putting that deal together, just for being that main person. Okay. And usually that goes along with just more than just putting a deal together. They're running it from start to finish, right? So they get 30% of the profits for doing that. But, and the investors get 70%, the people that are putting the money into it. But with that, you usually give away what's called a preferred return. So we're going to say a 6 to maybe 8%, sometimes even higher, sometimes even 9% preferred return. And that goes back to that cash on cash, meaning if I gave you $100,000 as the investor, I'm going to get $8,000 in a year's time. That's my preferred. I hit that preferred. Any money we make over that, I get 70% of it. So if we make, let's just say there's one investor and they only put in $100,000, which wouldn't be worth syndicating, but that's besides the point. We're trying to make it easy. Let's just say we got one investor at $100,000 and the property makes $8,000. We hit their return, 8%. Boom. They get paid. Me as the general partner doesn't get paid because the first 8% goes to the investor. Now, if we go and hit $8,000 or $10,000, okay, we went over by $2,000. So we on that $2,000 buffer there, we split 70 to the investor, 30 to the general partner, 30% to the general partner. Okay. Now that seems, whoa, I mean, what if we only make 8% every year? Then I'm not making any money. I mean, that's not fair, right? Well, first of all, the goal is to make more than 8% so that you get some money. And we're talking a lot bigger numbers. So we're not talking just 100,000. We're talking more like, you know, a million to 10 million to bigger. So add some zeros onto that. So instead of, if we're talking a million, now instead of 2,000, we're talking 20,000 that we're splitting. If we're talking 10 million, now we're talking, you know, you get it. So the other thing that we get, there's two more fees that oftentimes a sponsor or general partner, whatever you want to call them, gets. Okay. The first one is an acquisition fee. So that's usually between 1 and 3%. I see two a lot. That's on the purchase of or overall acquisition. So purchase and renovation. Okay. So let's say if we got a $10 million building, you're going to get as the sponsor, you're going to get, let's say 2% of that. So you're getting $200,000. That's right at the front end. Okay. The other fee is the asset management fee. And usually that's between, again, 1% to 3%. Two is what I see a lot. And the asset management fee is the ongoing fee for managing the property, for admin and travel and all that kind of stuff. That's to make sure you get paid as the general partner. So that's 2% of the gross revenue. Okay, so whatever the rents are that are collected, you get paid 2% on top of that. That's a lot that I just said. Does that make sense, or you got questions on that?
No, I think that makes sense. Just kind of repeat it back to you. So there's the acquisition fee.
Yeah.
Of course, it can be negotiated, but we'll say 2% for the example here.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it's necessarily negotiated. Usually you don't have your investors negotiate with you because you're bringing on, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 different people. That's what your expectations are from the start. Here's what I would say. Don't get greedy. Make sure you're giving your investors a lot of money. And also make sure you take care of yourself. If the deal's not worth doing or if you're not getting paid that much money, it may be not worth doing the deal. But don't get greedy either. Make sure you can make your investors at least that, you know, 14 to 18%.
And so that acquisition fee needs to be considered in the total amount that you're raising.
That you're raising. Yep. Absolutely.
It's not going to just appear somewhere.
Does it just appear? Nope.
So, and then as it's managing or as it's, you know, as it's operating, that's the word I'm looking for. Then out of the gross income, there is a, what did you call it? What fee is that called?
Asset management fee.
So that's different from the property management fee because
right.
You're not necessarily, unless you're also taking on this role, you're not the property manager. That's somebody else.
Yeah. You're managing the manager, you're managing the property, you're managing the construction, whatever else is being done. You're implementing the business plan essentially from start to finish, but you're not managing the property. Now, if you're doing the property management as well, you should be paid for the property management. You should be paid a fair market fee. I wouldn't overcharge. I wouldn't undercharge. I would charge if the average fee is 4%, that's what I would charge, 4%.
Okay. Yeah. And then there's the asset management fee. And then there is the annual profits that we've talked about. So there's the preferred rate of return, which, you know, again, is set up front, but we're using 8%, right?
Yeah.
That's 8% of what?
8% of the total cash flow. So that's your net operating income. So that's your expenses, or your income, your gross income, less your expenses, less your debt service payments.
Okay.
And less your replacement reserve. We always put a replacement reserve in there. You should be putting that in there as well.
Yep. Okay.
So there's some other fees too, and some companies charge them, some, others don't. Some companies charge a disposition fee, meaning at the sale, you charge 1-3% of the sales price. And then other companies have waterfall clauses, meaning let's say we get up to 14% that I told my investors we're going to try to hit. At that 14%, maybe we go down to a 50-50 split or a 60-40 split. And then maybe at 16%, or maybe it's 17 or 18 or whatever it is, we go down another, maybe now we go down to the 50-50 or a 40-60 even. So there's the waterfalls too. So essentially you're getting rewarded for the property performing really well. The investors get some reward, but you get more of the reward. So waterfalls are other things we can put in. Look, syndication is a great thing because it allows you to pay your investors what is fair. And it allows your investors to, your investors then can say, I don't want to do this deal, or I do want to do this deal. So it's kind of great because there's no rules, because there's plenty of rules, but there's no set, standard on this is what you have to pay.
Yeah, room for creativity as long as it's attractive to everybody involved.
Yeah, and it's legal, of course. That's very important. So then the other thing that I see a lot is what type of structure should I use? And, how I do things, at least right now, and it may change, I might try to do some different types of offerings, but how I do it, it's an LLC, and you've got a general partner, you've got limited partners. The limited partners are the investors, and they don't have any voting rights. The general partner is me and anybody I bring into it that are my partners. And then we have the voting rights for it. And we're set up pretty similar to how I talked about with the partnership, but it's an LLC. We get a big private placement memorandum that we give to everybody. And we've got a business plan, we've got an operating agreement, all that kind of stuff. So the attorney drafts all that stuff up with our guidance, but the attorney drafts all that stuff up. You could do a straight interest rate payout, or maybe even a combination. And I kind of do a combination of interest rate and small equity, but it's not, nothing's guaranteed, right? I'm saying I'm going to give an 8% preferred return, but it's not guaranteed. I'm not saying we're going to give you 8%. It's if the property only makes 7%, then the investor only gets 7%. That just means I don't get paid. Nothing's guaranteed. Now, if you're going to do a straight interest rate, I still don't know if I'd put a guarantee on it, but that's more you're telling your investors, this is what you're going to get paid. Once it goes above that, you're not paying them anymore. So that's a way to make even more money. But a lot of times you might have to give away, let's say 10 or 12%. And that's what you're giving away regardless. If you make 6%, you're still paying 12%, so you're losing money.
Yeah, it's more like a loan versus an investment.
Yep. And then, or you could do a combination. You could say, look, we're going to pay you 6%. We're going to pay you regardless, whether the property makes 5% or what. But then we're going to give you a 50-50 split or something, you know, maybe smaller, because we're saying, hey, you are going to get 6% or you are going to get 7%. But then we'll just give you 50-50 on top of that. So you could do that too. So you can get creative in how you're going to do things. Again, consult with your attorney to make sure you're doing it legally. Mm-hmm. Did I say consult with your attorney yet?
Yeah, just a couple times.
Because I don't want anybody to come to me and say, hey, you told me to do this.
Yeah.
Well, wait. You know, I told you this is kind of what I see. This is my experience. But it doesn't mean that you should take everything that somebody says that's not a licensed attorney. So
for somebody that it's their first time doing this, there might seem like there's too many options. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Structure should I put together? So when you do go to your attorney, are they generally going to give you some advice as, you know, I'll give this return, or they're just going to, again, tell you all the options and say, what do you want to do?
You know, I think if you have a good attorney, they will help guide you. They're not going to tell you this is what you have to do. Well, at least hopefully that would be to me a bad attorney, but I think they'll guide you. You know, if especially if you get an attorney, let's say you're doing things based solely in Minnesota and you're dealing with investors pretty much solely from Minnesota. Well, then get a syndication attorney or securities attorney that's from Minnesota. Okay. And I'm going to have one on the show in a few weeks, so you can talk to him. If you're doing things nationwide, then talk with more of a securities attorney that deals nationwide. So, you know, deal with the right attorney for sure is a good thing. But they should be able to say, well, this is kind of what I've been seeing other investors doing. Maybe you should consider doing it this way.
Yeah, definitely. So, definitely a good idea to get some real, real examples and, of what's actively going on here. So.
Yeah. You know, last thing I would say, last question is, how do I set up a syndication and quite simply use a securities attorney? And I've already mentioned that. And that should be one of your very first calls when you're thinking about syndications, is calling a securities attorney. Now get yourself semi-educated. You know, I would read a couple books. I would go onto YouTube. I would go into Bigger Pockets, read all about, you know, syndications. I would do some of that, but then talk to a securities attorney before you start really talking to investors. So make sure you're not violating any SEC rules. You know, I see people go into, you know, networking events and they stand up and they ask for money, or they post online that they're raising, you know, money for a deal or stuff like that. And it's kind of like, well, you know, should you be doing it or should you not? Do you want to consult with your attorney first before you do anything that's going to break rules? Because maybe you can do that, but there's a good chance you shouldn't be doing that. So you just don't want to put yourself into a bad position.
Yep. Yeah. And do you think that somebody should find their investment first or find their attorney first?
Find their attorney first. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Find your attorney. Maybe you have your general idea of investors, but don't do too much talking to your investors without first consulting with your attorney to know what you can and can't say. And then, yeah, don't go and get the investment and then find the attorney. Because it's going to be too late then. It's going to be so hard to get yourself going. Yeah. Doesn't mean you have to sign an agreement with them. You know, just get to know some attorneys and, you know, kind of decide which one you like the most. And doesn't mean you have to, you know, sign a non-binding or a fully binding agreement that you're going to do business with them and you're already paying them or they're not on your payroll. So.
Of course, each attorney is going to have their own fees, and I'm assuming depending on the deal, it's going to change a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
What should somebody budget, you know, ahead of time, and make sure they have at least that before they start to pursue this?
Yeah, so that's all over the board. So I would talk with the attorney again on that. And some attorneys are going to want, you know, some money down. Some attorneys are saying, well, you can pay me when you close, so you might not need any money for it. You know, some attorneys are going to cost you $8,000 to $10,000, maybe even less. Some attorneys are going to cost you $30,000 or maybe even more. And it also, it's not just the attorney. It's going to depend on the type of offering too. You know, if you're doing a 506C, it's going to cost you more than a simple 506B versus maybe a 504 or whatever. So there's different types of offerings too that are going to cost different amounts of money.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say, what's it going to cost? Anywhere between $5,000 on the very, very lowest end, to $30,000 plus, you know, $50,000 plus. So it's all over the board on that. Obviously, it's a big range. So that's why, again, you should talk to the attorney first before getting the deal. Last thing you want to do is tell your investors, here's my budget, and then all of a sudden add on a big chunk more.
Yep.
So.
Very good.
So that's, yeah, I mean, that's all I got for this topic. I shouldn't say that's all I got. There's so much more, and I'm going to continue to try to talk more and more about it. I think people need to be educated about it, the securities and what it means. And I see so many people asking the same types of questions and just assuming that they're right when they're wrong. And, you know, it's just like, and you can always learn more about it. So if you're going to do it, I would learn. And then it's probably one of the more complicated parts about real estate. And quite frankly, it's a totally different business. You know, if you're going to be a syndicator, a syndication company, you need to learn and run that as a separate business. So, so next week I want to talk, John, about preparing and selling. So preparing to sell and then selling your building. And how do we get ready to do that?
Yeah, that'll be a great one. Some of the stuff I talked about at the seminar I did recently. So yeah.
There you go. So maybe you can be the guru on that one. We can talk about it. So, and then the other thing I want to talk about, and maybe we'll do a small series on this, is out-of-state investing. I had somebody on Facebook that said, hey, I'd love to hear about out-of-state investing in apartment buildings too. And, you know, how do you do that? And so I think that'll be coming up soon. So if that person's listening, off the top of my head, I can't remember their name, so I'm very sorry. But if that person's listening, then we'll be talking about that soon as well.
Sounds good. Okay, well, thank you guys for listening and for watching here. If you enjoyed what you saw, be sure to give us a thumbs up. Be sure to leave us a comment and review. We'll give you a shout out if we can here. And, you know, go ahead and share it with those other people that you know who are considering investing in real estate as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, John. You have a fantastic rest of the day and make every day a Saturday.
You too.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.